Hello, I'm R.A. Spratt. I write and perform this podcast. If you'd like to support the show, I'm a children's author, so you can buy a book by me, or you can buy me a coffee by going to buymeacoffee.com/storiesrasspratt. It's an easy way to make a small thank you gift to the show so I can keep kicking this can down the road. The podcast directory you're using right now should have a link to my Buy Me a Coffee page in the show notes, or you can type it into your browser. That's buymeacoffee.com/storiesrasspratt. All contributions are gratefully appreciated. Hello and welcome to Bedtime Stories with me, R.A. Spratt. Okay, well, it's a gorgeous day here in Bowral. Now, if you've listened to all the pesky kids stories that I recorded like a year or more ago, you'll remember that Currawong, the town that the pesky kids are set in, is actually based on my hometown, Bowral. And in Currawong, they have lots of crazy festivals. Every weekend or so, they'll have another crazy festival. And that is based on reality here in Bowral. And in fact, this weekend here in Bowral, we're having a Bridgerton festival. Based on the TV show and the series of books. So it's actually been really quite spectacular because lots of the shops in town are totally bedecked in beautiful fresh flowers, like really over-the-top displays all wrapping around the doorways. And then in addition to that, lots of people are visiting Bowral to celebrate Bridgerton. And most of them, they are pretty much all women. All these women are dressed up in Regency period clothing, which is really beautiful. It was quite cold yesterday, so it was a little bit sad for them because they were wearing these lovely silk ankle-length gowns, but it was a bit too cold and they had to wear coats over the top. But it's gorgeous today, so they're out there in their full splendour wearing their Regency wear. So that's what's going on here today. It's crazy and I love it. But today, that's not what we're doing. We're going to do a different story. Now, you remember a few weeks ago, we did the story of St. Patrick. And when I did the story of St. Patrick, which he's the patron saint of Ireland, I thought, oh, I should do some more like that because that was a good fun one. So I thought, oh, I should do St. David, the patron saint of Wales. So that's what we're going to do today. Like I did St. Patrick for St. Patrick's Day, but St. David's Day is the 1st of March. And I didn't want to wait that long. So we're going to do it today. So let's get into it. Here we go. The Story of St. David, as told by Nanny Piggins. Nanny Piggins, Boris and the children were exhausted because they just returned home from the courthouse. Although for once they weren't in trouble for anything Nanny Piggins had done. This time they had gone to court to bail Nanny Piggins' sister, Katerina, out of jail. Now, if you're having trouble keeping track, which is nothing to be ashamed of, Nanny Piggins herself has trouble keeping track of her 13 identical sisters, all of whom are evil in their own unique way. So just so you know, Katerina is the sister whose evil took the form of being obsessed with vegetables. Is that really a form of evil, I hear you ask? Well, yes it is, when you do it the way Katerina did. You see, Katerina had been arrested for snatching pumpkins out of shoppers' hands and running out of the store with them. Because Katerina was a strident vegetable activist. She adamantly believed people should eat more vegetables. So October enraged her. She morally objected to the festival of Halloween. She hated the candy, she hated the dressing up, but most of all, she hated the tradition of carving pumpkins into jack-o'-lanterns. When the police sergeant finally arrested her, after a high-speed chase around all 8 floors of the mall car park, he found Katerina's van stuffed full of pumpkins she had liberated from greengrocers and supermarkets around the country. This looked like an open-and-shut case. Katerina would end up in jail again. But in court, Katerina had pleaded not guilty to grand theft vegetable, arguing that it wasn't pumpkin theft, it was pumpkin liberation. She was a pumpkin freedom fighter, saving vegetables from knife-wielding jack-o'-lantern carvers who brutalised the beautiful orange vegetables, wasting them so they couldn't be eaten. The judge found Katerina's political activism on behalf of vegetables very confusing. He was about to send her for a psychiatric evaluation, but that never happened, because at that moment, Nanny Piggins burst into the courtroom and declared there was no need for psychiatric evaluation because she could 100% verify that her sister was totally bonkers. So the judge set Katerina's bail at $500. Obviously, Nanny Piggins didn't have $500. If she did, she would have spent it on chocolate. And Nanny Piggins earned that amount by busking on the footpath outside the courthouse. It only took 2 hours of spectacular tap dancing to raise the money. Then Nanny Piggins had to go back into the courthouse because she had been arrested for busking outside a courthouse without a permit. But then Boris burst in, having heard that Nanny Piggins had been arrested, and he performed a ballet expressing the injustice of the legal system in relation to public art performances. And this ballet was so beautiful that the judge burst into tears and sent them all home if they promised to be good in the future. So, understandably, Nanny Piggins, Boris and the children were, at this stage of the afternoon, all very tired and in need of some recuperative chocolate cake. As Nanny Piggins stuffed her seventh slice into her mouth, she was just beginning to feel better. "You see, children, this is the danger of vegetables," said Nanny Piggins. "They can totally ruin your afternoon." "Is Katerina the only one of your relatives to be obsessed with vegetables?" asked Eric. "Well, there was one other," said Nanny Piggins, "but many, many years ago. 1,500 years ago, to be exact. I'm afraid every 1.5 millennia, every family has a troublemaker." "Well, what happened all the way back then?" asked Michael. "My relative invented a way to use leeks to achieve military victory," said Nanny Piggins. "Leeks," said Derek. "You mean the long, skinny vegetables that taste a bit like an onion?" "That's the one," said Nanny Piggins. "Well, what did they do with the leeks? Bash their enemies over the head?" asked Michael. "Not quite," said Nanny Piggins. "But his use of leeks was so impressive that he became the patron saint of all Wales." "What?" asked Derek. "His name was St. David, and due to his vegetable-related accomplishments, he became the patron saint of Wales," said Nanny Piggins. "You're going to have to explain," said Michael. "All right," said Nanny Piggins. "I can tell you the story, but I must warn you. Unlike St. Patrick, the patron saint of Ireland, St. David was never kidnapped by pirates. In fact, very few saints are ever kidnapped by pirates. St. Patrick of Ireland was unusually lucky in that regard. Most of the saints were more about praying and building churches than piracy." "So you're saying that St. David was boring?" asked Samantha. "Oh, no, I wouldn't say that," said Nanny Piggins. "He was definitely interesting. In regard to vegetables, he was flat out peculiar. But I just don't want you to get the wrong idea that the lives of the saints were like a Pirates of the Caribbean movie, because they weren't." "You're going to have to tell us the whole story," said Derek. "All right, I will. It all began 1,500 years ago in the ancient Celtic story days with my distant relative, who I've told you about before, King Arthur," said Nanny Piggins, "or as we know her correct title, Queen Arthur Piggins, Queen of all the Britons, who lived in Camelot, was advised by the wizard Merlin, and whose knights went out in search of the Holy Grail." "Queen Arthur was related to St. David?" asked Derek. "Well, I don't see why that's so surprising. They were both Welsh," said Nanny Piggins. "Camelot was in North Wales, and St. David was born in South Wales. There weren't as many people in Wales in the ancient Celtic story days, so the chances of any two internationally famous historical figures being related were quite high." "Well, why were they living at opposite ends of the country?" asked Derek. "Because they were Pigginses," said Nanny Piggins. "St. David's mother, Nanita Piggins, was Queen Arthur's sister, and they did not get along." "Like you and your sisters?" asked Michael. "No, no one is quite like me and my sister," said Nanny Piggins. "Nanita wasn't evil. She just couldn't take Arthur seriously as a monarch. You know how it is. Much as you may love your siblings, it's hard for you to take them seriously as a national leader when you knew them as an irritating toddler and a stroppy teenager. Every time Arthur made a royal decree, Nanita couldn't help but roll her eyes. Then she kept taking Arthur's things without asking. You know, hairbands, swords, cake platters, holy grails. It always ended in a fight. And it's not very decorous for a monarch to be rolling around on the floor pulling her sister's hair when she's supposed to be running the country. So the two sisters decided to live at opposite ends of Wales so they wouldn't embarrass each other. They sent each other rude birthday cards once a year, and that was about it. Now, at this time, there was a preacher called Gildas, and he was the greatest preacher in all of Britain. He travelled around the countryside giving inspirational sermons to the people. And you've got to understand that in those days, preaching was a big deal. There was no TV, no internet, no films. Most people couldn't read, and even if they could, they couldn't afford books because the printing press hadn't been invented yet. So going to church on Sunday morning was a big deal. It was the big show of the week. Now, on this particular Sunday, Gildas, the greatest preacher in all of Britain, was visiting a small town on the south coast of Wales, and he was going to deliver one of his magnificent sermons to wow the crowd. Everyone in the whole village crowded into the church to hear. They were really excited. Gildas got up in the pulpit to preach, but when he opened his mouth, no sound came out. He took a deep breath, a sip of water, and tried again, but still no sound came out. Gildas didn't know what to do. He didn't know sign language. He was no mime artist. If he couldn't speak, it wouldn't be much of a sermon. So Gildas told everyone to leave the church. Now, before you ask, no, I don't know how he told everyone to leave if he couldn't speak. That's just how the story goes. Sometimes stories just are logic-free zones. And it's not just olden days stories either. If you go and see a movie today, the story almost never makes sense. So we shouldn't be surprised if a 1,500-year-old story doesn't make sense either. Anyway, where was I? Everyone left the church and Gildas tried to give his sermon again. But again, no sound came out of his mouth. Now, I don't want to malign the lovely country of Wales, but even the Welsh people will agree that in Wales, the weather tends to be, more often than not, a little bit grim. It rains all the time. So remembering this is 1,500 years ago and before electric lighting, it would have been very dark and shadowy in the church. Gildas peered out into the gloom and called out, "Is there anybody hiding in this church?" And from down the back, a pregnant woman responded, "I, Nonita, am staying here between the walls and the door, not wishing to mingle with the crowd."
"Well, you go outside and let everybody else back in, so I may regain my voice and preach," said Gildas.
"But this is Wales," said Nonita. "It's always raining outside. Surely you're not going to send a pregnant lady out into the rain."
But that is what Gildas did. And once Nonita was out of the church and everyone else came back in, Gildas was able to preach again.
"That's just weird," said Samantha. "It's not a very nice message about how to treat expectant mothers," said Derek.
"I know," said Nanny Piggins. Then that night, the angel of the Lord appeared before Gildas.
"What, to tell him off for throwing out a pregnant lady?" asked Michael.
"Sort of," said Nanny Piggins. The angel explained the strange happenings. He said that Nonita was a saintly woman.
"But I thought you said she was a Piggins," said Boris.
"We can be saintly too," snapped Nanny Piggins.
"Oh, yes, of course, Sarah, of course."
The angel explained that Nonita was pregnant with a baby who would one day grow up to be the best preacher in all of Britain, much better than Gildas. So that's why Gildas had been struck silent in the presence of the unborn baby.
"Huh?" said Derek.
"It made sense to the people in the ancient Celtic story days," said Nanny Piggins. Gildas instantly retired and left the unborn baby in charge of Wales.
"Wow, that's a big job for an unborn baby," said Michael.
"Yes, and it really put the local ruler's nose out of joint," said Nanny Piggins. "He was quite the meanie. He heard that a baby was about to be born who would grow up to be the greatest preacher in all of Britain, and he didn't like the sound of that at all. He thought the baby would be coming for his job, so he decided to find and kill the baby."
"What a rotter!" wailed Boris.
"It's all right, Boris, don't panic," said Nanny Piggins. "Remember, the baby did grow up to be the patron saint of an entire country. The story is not going to end here."
The ruler never got to Nonita because that night a storm whipped up with raging winds and teeming rains. The sky was black with clouds, except for the small stone hut where Nonita was living. That hut was bathed in sunlight. When Nonita went into labour in her humble stone dwelling, legend has it that the pain was so great she clutched the wall and her fingers cut into the stones. Then when the child was born, the stone split asunder in sympathy with her. And that child was St. David.
"Dramatic," said Derek.
"Well, she was a Piggins," said Nanny Piggins. "Nonita knew how to put on a show."
"So if St. David was related to you, are you saying that she was a pig and a woman?" asked Samantha.
"No, not at all. Well, he was a pig, but not a woman," said Nanny Piggins.
"Oh, dear. He wasn't no good like your brother Bramwell," asked Samantha.
"Oh, no, nothing like that," said Nanny Piggins. "David was fine, just a little odd. He did grow up to become a priest. He travelled to Rome and then Jerusalem and came back to preach in Wales. But he had some odd ideas."
"Like what?" asked Derek. Well, he got it into his head that humans shouldn't use farm animals.
In what way? Asked Derek.
Well, David didn't see why humans should make horses and cows do all the hard work for them, said Nanny Piggins. David thought that if humans wanted their fields ploughed, they should put on a harness and plough the fields themselves.
That sounds like hard work, said Michael.
Yes, he made all the monks in all his monasteries plough their own fields. He also didn't believe in eating animals, which was brilliant and kind and visionary. The problem was he hadn't thought through the alternatives. Chocolate hadn't been invented yet, and there wasn't a lot of cake about, so he advocated eating vegetables.
No, gasped the children.
Are you sure he was a Piggins? Asked Samantha.
Was there something wrong with him? Asked Michael.
I don't know, said Nanny Piggins. My dear distant cousin Nonita swears she never dropped him on his head. But maybe being forced out into the rain before he was born led to some sort of brain fever.
Also, he wasn't very tall, most likely as a result of the cake deficiency in his diet, said Nanny Piggins. One day, David was preaching outside and a huge crowd gathered round. But most people couldn't see him because he was so short. And this was when Sir David performed his most famous miracle. As he preached, the ground rose up beneath him and formed a hill so he'd be visible to all.
Cool, said Michael. I could use that when I'm trying to get things out of the top shelf of the pantry.
The other thing David was famous for was his vegetable-related military victory. It all happened when he was leading an army against the invading Saxons.
A priest was in a war, asked Derek.
That wasn't considered odd at the time, said Nanny Piggins. They all used to do it.
So St. David was leading this army, but he wasn't terribly good at it. You see, the soldiers struggled to recognise each other. Armies are very big, so not everyone in his army was on a first-name basis. Plus, it does rain a lot in Wales, so visibility was not good. As a result, they kept accidentally killing people on their own side. That night after their first battle, St. David and his soldiers sat around trying to think up a solution. And that is when St. David had his most famous good idea. He suggested that they should all wear something distinctive so they could tell their soldiers apart from the other army.
What, you mean a uniform? Guessed Derek.
You see, that would have been a good idea, said Nanny Piggins, but that isn't what David came up with. His idea was to make his army look distinctive by strapping leeks to their heads.
Leeks? Queried Derek.
Yes, the long, thin, oniony vegetable. They were St. David's favourite vegetable of all time. He always carried some with him. So St. David had all his soldiers strap a leek to their heads. And it worked. It reduced the accidental stabbing significantly. And the leek has been a symbol of Wales ever since.
Wow. Do Welsh people still strap leeks to their heads? Asked Samantha.
Only in the privacy of their own homes or on public holidays. And St. David continued to preach all around Britain and was beloved by all, especially the farm animals who got to kick back and do no work, until St. David eventually died at the age of 147.
147? Now that's just not possible, said Derek.
I know it doesn't seem likely, especially after eating all those vegetables that must have ravaged his health, said Nanny Piggins. But you have to remember this was back 1,500 years ago, just after the Romans had left Britain. So people in Britain were still counting using Roman numerals. And it's hard enough to count with regular numbers, but Roman numerals with all those X's and L's and C's would make adding up things even more confusing. So perhaps there'd been a little mathematical error. That's certainly more believable than someone who only ate vegetables living for so long. And St. David's final words were,
"Lords, brothers and sisters, be joyful and keep your faith and your creed and do the little things that you have seen me do and heard about."
And everyone liked that because it's always nicer to be asked to do little things than big things. And so St. David is beloved in Wales to this day, even though he was never abducted by pirates.
The end. Time for bed.
Well, there you go. That's the end of that story. I hope you liked it. Before we go, I did just want to say thank you to everyone who's been buying merchandise or donating on the Buy Me a Coffee page or buying my books. It's all super helpful and it all helps me keep this podcast going. So thank you very much. I'm very grateful. And until next time, goodbye.